This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. You know, as a reporter, I have been to many press conferences where I knew what the purpose of the press conference was for. I knew it was to throw some shade and maybe deflect, and, you know, maybe you weren't going to get truthful answers. And I understood why the whatever sports entity was holding the press conference was holding the press conference for. And maybe you guys, as viewers of sports and consumers of sports, have felt the same way. Maybe your local team has hired a manager or a head coach or a general manager that you knew wasn't really the guy, that the guy was going to be a couple of years down the road, and they were going to lavish poetically about this current hire, and you knew that in a couple of years they were going to replace him. That's the way I felt when this alliance was being brought to us yesterday. Now, I've been talking about this for the last couple of days, about what I think it will mean for you, the casual college football fan, and what it will mean in general, this conglomeration of these three Power Five conferences, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12. But there were things that were said in this press conference yesterday that made me just go, you've got to be kidding. We're going to get to that coming up. We'll also look more into the NFL as they get into the final preseason game. And we still have some unanswered questions, or do we? Maybe just because an answer isn't public, it doesn't mean we don't know. And there's still some quarterback questions that are being floated out there. We also are going to have our preview of the Miami Dolphins. Now, this is a team that went 10-6 last year, went from Ryan Fitzpatrick, the wily old veteran, to Tua Tagovailoa, who was a rookie coming off a hip injury. And while he didn't play great, there were some circumstances that made it look like, well, maybe he didn't play as bad as people thought. This is a weird, weird year for the Dolphins, because they could be building for a potential championship run, or they could be starting all over again. It depends on what they get out of their team this year in some key spots, including at quarterback. So that's all coming up. But next, this merger between three Power Five conferences has me asking a lot of questions. And a couple have to do with what the SEC is doing on the other side of it, looking at this from afar. That's next as we continue. It's Sports Map Radio and his Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. All right, so yesterday, big college football announcement. I've been telling you about this. This has been coming down the pipe for a while. The ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 all saying, hey, guess what? We're going to come together and form this alliance. So yesterday they make this announcement, and then, you know, you're thinking, okay, is this real? What exactly is this? Then you get to the kind of the nitty gritty of this, which is this. There's no contract here. There is no written agreement between these three conferences that really makes this official. It's just right now a theory they're all agreeing to do until somebody decides this isn't in their best interest anymore. I mean, think about how dangerous this alliance is without a written agreement. Now, if you're Greg Sankey in the SEC and you just plucked Texas and Oklahoma to join your conference in a couple of years, and you're looking at this big three-conference alliance, and they don't have anything in writing, don't you think it would be fun to just pluck off a couple of schools from this thing one by one? Like, what stops the SEC from putting a phone call into Florida State right now? Going, do you really want to be a part of that? Or do you want to be a part of what we're doing? How about you, Clemson? How'd you like to jump on into this swimming pool? Oh, they've got 41 teams. We'll have 18 of the better teams. Why don't you guys come on in? And I'm looking at you, North Carolina, ranked in the top 25. Don't think you're going anywhere. We'll be talking to you a little bit. That's what this is. What exactly is this? Just three conferences with a handshake agreement that they'll all work together to. So if I'm a head coach at one of these schools, right? If I'm Ryan Day at Ohio State, how is my life any different? Is it because down the road they'll schedule Oregon? Because down the road they'll put me in the Rose Bowl against UCLA? Well, I'm putting these kind of games together in my non-conference slate in the first place. And really, do my fans want me to play North Carolina rather than Northwestern? Do my fans want me to travel to the West Coast to play Washington rather than Penn State? Right? So if I'm Ohio State, or I'm Michigan, or I'm Clemson for that matter, or if I'm even in the Pac-12, let's give them some traditional credit too. Am I looking forward to this? Am I looking forward to going across the country to play a game against a team I don't really play and I don't have any tradition with? Why? Why are we doing this? That would be my question. And the reason that they're doing this is because the SEC plucked Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 and then formed this big, gigantic conference where they were going to have a lot more presence in the college football playoff. And this alliance basically says, well, if one of us gets in, all of us get in, right? So you may be the Pac-12, but if two teams from the Big 10 get to the playoff, don't worry. It's all this handshaked agreement group, will all be in the revenue pile. And guess what? When asked about this, they all said, no, it has nothing to do with the SEC. That's a flat-out lie. That is an absolute flat-out lie. There is no way this goes down if the SEC doesn't pull its weight and pull those two schools out of the Big 12. Not one second is this discussed unless the SEC does what it did. They just don't want it to appear that that's the case. Now, listen, I've been at plenty of press conferences where I knew I wasn't getting the full truth. This is not the full truth. This was absolutely done because of what the SEC did. And the SEC is probably laughing at this right now. They probably haven't stopped laughing at this since the press conference was over. Because they know why they did this. We have got a wild, wild west right now in college athletics. It is wide open. And why is it wide open? Because the sheriff is dead. The NCAA, which used to be the they were the sheriff, they were the judge, they were the executioner, they ran the whole thing. They were the biggest presence in college athletics, and they are dead. They are dead, and they ain't coming back to life. And right now, you have got a wide open slate of schools and conferences doing whatever the heck they want to do, and it's fine. Because many of us didn't like the way the NCAA was running the thing in the first place. So before anybody gets all excited about the potential of like cross-conference scheduling and, you know, meaningful games between juggernaut conferences, remember that the SEC could still step in and grab some of these schools because there is nothing on paper that locks any of this together. It's absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And guess what? I mentioned the SEC. And I mentioned the Big Ten and the ACC and the Pac-12. Guess who I did not mention at all? The Big 12, which is, oh, by the way, the Big 8, because now they lost two teams out of the 10-team conference, even though they were the Big 12. You get it. Where are they going? If you're Texas Tech, where are you going? Where are you going if you're Baylor? If you're Kansas, Kansas State, Iowa State? You know where you're going? Wherever anybody will take you. Bob Bowlsley is the guy that is trying to reel in and hold on to the cattle that's leaving the barn. Because the Pac-12 also said, by the way, next week we'll be talking about expansion. And I'm looking at you guys in Texas and Kansas and Iowa. And don't forget about you there, Oklahoma State. I got you. And the other conferences are going to do the exact same thing. This is wild. Wild. But as I told you guys yesterday, and I told you guys last week, because college football is mostly a local thing, unless this creates schedules that you're not accustomed to with your favorite team, if you are a fan of one of the teams in one of those three conferences that have made this alliance, it really shouldn't change anything. One of the weird aspects of this, not really weird, but it was really telling, I should say, was when the Pac-12 commissioner was talking about now that you've got this opportunity to schedule all of these other games, will you increase your conference schedule? Right? Because right now they play like 8-9 games in the conference. So now you've got all these other, you got ACC schools, you got Big Ten schools. Now you can start making more conference schedules. And they said, yeah, but we'll also have to talk to ESPN about renegotiating a deal. Oh, really? So that's what this is about. And that's exactly what it's about. It's about two things. It's about responding to the power of the SEC. And it's also responding to the ever-changing landscape of how we consume sports. Because how we consume sports is changing day by day. It used to be, like, again, I'm dating myself, but the big games for me were on ABC with Keith Jackson, right? And the big games in the SEC were on CBS with Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson, right? Now, the streaming services are getting into the game, right? You're getting cable in the game. Like you guys know, go on Saturday afternoon, click, 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 college football. Everywhere you look, there's college football. They all know that the ever-changing landscape of media and the power of the dollar could make this a very, very lucrative alliance, which is why I am amazingly surprised that they didn't put this down on paper, that this is just a handshake agreement. You ever have a handshake agreement with somebody over money? How did that work out? Like, seriously, like there was a windfall. Yeah, maybe you and somebody else were selling something together, right? It never goes as smoothly as you think it is. When we're talking about these media rights, don't you think the Big Ten is going to look at what they bring to the table in this alliance and go, yeah, I think there's going to be a little bit more money for us, right? Look at the media markets we have. You know, New York, Chicago, like look at the media markets we're bringing in here. Some of the national presence that we have with Ohio State, Michigan. They're going to make that claim. They're going to look at the ACC and go, yeah, wait, hold on. They have some good teams, but they're not as deep. And the Pac-12, why are we splitting this? Wait till that comes down. There better be something on paper quick. But again, when the sheriff is dead, this is what happens. It's go stake your claim now before there's some semblance of law and order, even though I don't think one is coming. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Yeah, on Twitter, Michael, even Hitler and Stalin had a written agreement in 1939. How did that work out? That's true. But you got to get something on paper, man. Got to get something on paper. All right, we'll continue along. We'll look at the NFL as we got some more unanswered questions leading into the preseason game as we continue its wake-up call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. If you're a longtime listener to this show, you might remember about 2 years around this time, maybe earlier in the month, my air conditioning went out in my house. Went out. I had to get a brand new unit, and it was problematic because we had somebody come and they had to redo our attic, and it was like that one guy came and early in the morning we were so excited because he was going to fix it, but then he showed up and was like, oh no, I can't do this yet. I have this problem, and then he left, and then it was awful. It was like 3-4 days of just sweltering heat. Last night, we took the family to dinner. We went shopping a little bit, came back to the house. My air conditioning unit is out. It was out. The condenser unit outside was just shut off. Fan's not running. So we have to bring somebody. Now, luckily it's under warranty. So we're going to have it fixed. And I've been dying. I am such a wimp. Why? I am so glad that I won some sort of lottery in life, that I was placed in a time period of human history where I can be a comfortable 70 degrees indoors all the time. because I don't think I could survive in like the 1700s, 1800s, 1200s in the southern part of the United States, right? Or anywhere in the world where they didn't have AC. I'm melting. It's unbelievable. I gotta toughen up. I always say, like, I should just go, what the heck? It's heat. We're all gonna, we gotta put up with it. No, not me. I'm tossing and turning, like, I can't do this. And just complaining, getting grouchy. So, I don't know why. So I'm very disappointed. I'm a little on edge this morning. So if you feel it, you just understand where it's coming from. All right, so the third final preseason game of the year is coming up this weekend. Some teams will be using starters again to answer some more questions and get some more data as they develop their team to the upcoming season. And some teams will do what they normally do in the fourth preseason game, which is run guys that aren't going to make the roster. Maybe some guys that will fill a few roster spots, but basically nobody plays. So we'll see a mixture of that. But there are some teams going into this game with still some unanswered questions. Now, I always throw this out there. Just because a team says that they don't know who their starter is going to be, it doesn't mean they don't know. It's just that they haven't told you. Sean Payton, we talked about this yesterday. I think Jameis Winston has solidified himself as QB1 of the Saints. I think he's going to be the starter over Taysom Hill. I think just in theory, it makes better sense to have a Jameis Winston who is a legitimate quarterback than a hybrid type quarterback in Taysom Hill. I think what Hill brings coming off the bench in various change of pace opportunities is more valuable to Sean Payton than making him the starter full time and then bringing in Jameis Winston for what? You wouldn't. So I think but Winston is such a turnover machine that no matter what he does in the preseason, you have no other belief then that's what you're going to get when you put him as your starting quarterback. I mean, 30 interceptions in his final year as a starter in Tampa Bay is a ton, right? And he didn't play at all last year. I mean, barely at all last year. But nevertheless, he's still their best option at QB. But they're probably going to make that announcement before their game coming up this weekend, their final preseason game coming up this weekend. Denver's in the same boat. Is it going to be Teddy Bridgewater, who had a mediocre season last year with Carolina, albeit some injuries plagued the team, or Drew Locke, who statistically was one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL last year? Like, if you want to go through metrics and all of that analytical data, Drew Locke was not very good. But again, it's where the Broncos are, Vic Fangio's made it an open competition. Is it an open competition, really? Like, what are you looking for? These three preseason games in training camp, what is it? What kind of development do you need? And the question that I have is, in a Denver Broncos type scenario, is whose job really is it to lose, right? Are both of these guys equal? Or are you saying, look, in the end, it's Teddy Bridgewater's job unless he really has a bad camp? And that's kind of something privately you're talking to your quarterback's coach with, your offensive coordinator, and some other coaches on the staff. Or is it, hey, guys, really, it's wide open. We don't really know who we want here, who we like. Because if it's that, I still think you lean towards Teddy Bridgewater and just get a little bit more of a veteran there in that position. I don't know. But I know Vic Fangio is on the hot seat. And when you're on the hot seat, these decisions make it tougher. And that's the problem, right? I mean, think about what's going on in Chicago for a second with Matt Nagy. Would he like to start Justin Fields, the future quarterback of the Chicago Bears, the future long-term quarterback, if you will, for the Chicago Bears, or at least you hope so? Sure. But his job is on the hot seat too, right? I mean, and you got to make the right decision. Are you going to put Justin Fields in and let him do rookie things? Because look, there are outliers, of course, right? There's no question. There have been rookie quarterbacks who have come into this league and have done really well. But for the most part, rookie quarterbacks struggle. Like, if you're a betting person, you bet on the struggle. You bet on the mediocrity of guys getting into the league. The gap between playing in college, even at the highest level at a place like Alabama or Clemson or wherever, and the NFL is still huge, right? It's not a step. There's no minor league baseball system where you go from playing single A ball to almost major league level curveballs in triple A to then major league baseball, right? Like you make this gigantic leap where every single person you play against is a superstar, is one of the best in the game. That's why could Alabama beat the worst NFL? That's a silly, I found those arguments so stupid, because that anybody who believes that does not understand the difference between college football and NFL football. Just does not get it. Well, because they're taking the performance they're seeing against one level of competition and thinking it will just translate to what they're seeing at the next level. And that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Right. And yet we do it all the time because the teams that are bad in the NFL look so beatable. But they look beatable because they're going up against teams with the best players in the world, as they have also the best players in the world. So rookie quarterbacks are supposed to be terrible, really, to be honest with you. Mediocre is probably the best you're going to get. And again, a few outliers, of course, and you don't have to hit me up with the examples because I know a few of them. But again, if you're a coach and you're on the hot seat, is this the risk you take if you're Matt Nagy, right? If you're not on the hot seat like Urban Meyer, it's bombs away with Trevor Lawrence. Robert Saleh in New York, it's bombs away with Zach Wilson. Why not? But if you're Kyle Shanahan, for example, you're not on the hot seat. You just went to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Who gives you the best chance to win in San Francisco? Is it really going to be Trey Lance, right? Or Jimmy Garoppolo? The team is 22-8 when Garoppolo is the starting quarterback. That means that he works the Kyle Shanahan system really well. Now, is there a wrinkle to that system that they'd like to add that he can't add? That may be the question. But the reality is that Trey Lance is going to take over that job because they vested too much in that pick to have him not take over that job. That's not a good problem to have. When you use your first round draft pick on a quarterback you don't plan on using, or a quarterback that you currently have on the roster beats out that rookie and just keeps the job over and over again. That's not what's going to happen here. We know that. It's the same thing in Chicago. Andy Dalton making public comments that he's QB1. Why not? Because he's got a few years left in this league, right? He knows why the Bears drafted Justin Fields. It wasn't to be a backup. It was to eventually be the starting quarterback in Chicago. Now, that situation is not going on in Denver, and it's not going on in New Orleans, two teams that are kind of deciding on their quarterback situation. There's no rookie here. Right, Drew Locke had his chance. Drew Locke had a chance to grow. He has not grown. He has actually been disappointing. And because I was a big Drew Locke guy, I wanted Denver to take him. It's been disappointing. In New Orleans, it's a battle between two guys that have had success playing at that position and also bring in some problems, right? Whether it's Taysom Hill being more valuable as a guy coming in as a change of pace quarterback. And then there's Jameis Winston, who finds a way to throw the ball to the other team almost all the time. But there are moments where Jameis Winston is fantastic, where he can throw the deep ball, something Drew Brees couldn't do. Right? So there's a lot of elements that work really well with both quarterbacks. There's also some problems with both quarterbacks. I do think Sean Payton, though, knows exactly where he's going with this position. It would really blow me away if he didn't. Like, he's in that office and he still is like, man, I can't pick. Man, flip a coin. I have no idea. No, he's not doing it. He knows exactly how he wants his. This is something he's had a long time to think about. And I don't think there was really any plan of maybe just looking to see if there would be a pleasant surprise. But I think I know where he wants to go with that. I think he's going with Jameis Winston. I think he loves Taysom Hill, but he loves Taysom Hill in his own way, in his own ability to come in and do what he does. But I think Jameis Winston is going to be the starting quarterback. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo will start in San Francisco while they groom Trey Lance. And I think Andy Dalton will start in Chicago as they get ready for Justin Fields. Matt Nagy, if he pulls the trigger on Justin Fields, he's probably pulling the trigger in his own career too. Because that might mean that, you know, the team is probably not going to be that good and struggle with wins. I mean, look at Tua Tagovailoa last year, right? He came off a hip injury and he was all right. He wasn't really great. I mean, the Dolphins did finish 10-6, but He's gonna try to grow with that position as well. We're going to preview the Dolphins coming up in hour two. As we roll along into Sports Map Radio, as we continue along, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, as we roll along on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Baseball, got some baseball news. The Yankees won their 11th in a row yesterday. Listen, as good as those Yankee teams were in the 90s, right? Remember the 98 team, Yankee team? They won a bunch of games, won the World Series, beat the Padres. I think they won 116 games that year. They never won 11 in a row. The Yankees have not won 11 straight games since they haven't done it in 36 years. That's how hard it is to win 11 in a row. Do you know what else is hard to do in baseball? Losing 19 in a row. And that's what the Baltimore Orioles did last night. They lost to the Angels 14-8. By the way, the Baltimore Orioles are playing this season as if they can't wait to get it over with. They just give up a bunch of runs early and then go, okay, great, we'll just wrap this thing up and we'll be done. You think to yourself, it should be impossible for a Major League Baseball team to lose 19 straight games, right? And then you think, oh, wait, this same organization lost 21 straight back in 1988. So they've done it before, albeit 30-plus years ago. But you think it should be really hard to lose like, if you tried to lose 19 games, you shouldn't be able to do it. You should just by sheer every now – like, if you're a manager and you didn't tell your team, right? You didn't tell your team that you were trying to lose 19 in a row, but your goal was to put together the worst possible lineup while showing a semblance that you are keeping this goal hidden, right? So you're not starting the center fielder as your starting pitcher, right? You're still pitching guys, but you're creating a lineup that's just not right. Your best hitter is batting eighth. Your leadoff guy doesn't have any speed. Like whatever it takes. You're just messing up purposely the lineup so that you can lose 19 in a row. You still wouldn't lose 19 in a row. You still wouldn't do it. Like, it still would be really hard to do that. Eventually, you're just going to have a night where the guys are just going to hit. You're going to run into a lousy pitcher who's having a terrible night. You're going to take advantage of it, and it won't matter what your lineup looks like. And yet, here are the Orioles, and that's exactly what they're doing. By the way, didn't the Orioles have a no-hitter on their record this season? I mean, they pitched one. Didn't their guy John Means pitch a no-hitter this season against Seattle? This might be one of the worst seasons in baseball history when it's all said and done. If I was them, I wouldn't win a game for the rest of the season. I would purposely lose every game just to be that futile. I remember they were on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1988, just their head hanging low. Ugh. Then the next year, they had a pretty good season. Like, I remember they were like pretty exciting, but not this year. Their last win, if you want to go back, see how long a 19-game losing skid is. You got to go back to August 2nd. That was when they beat the Yankees 7-1. How ironic, because the Yankees have really turned things around. A month ago, I was burying the Yankees as a fraud. And now they've won 11 straight. They're probably the most powerful team right now, at least in the American League. I mean, Tampa Bay is going to have their hands full holding them back. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, Michael on Twitter. 2 years ago, our AC unit went out in the middle of July. It was so miserable, my wife and I went to a hotel for 5 days until it was fixed. I might be doing the same thing. If this is one of those things where the people come and say, hey, this is going to take a few days until we get a part, I think I'll be staying at the local hotels in my town here in Tennessee. Because I'm not putting up with this. I already told you, I won't tough this out. I won't make it. I like air conditioning. I like modern convenience. I've told you guys this. People always have that, they have that that scenario in life where they say if you could bring back any historical figure to have dinner with them, who would you bring? And I always say be careful because when you bring back people from the past, like let's say this time machine did work, and you were to bring back historical figures because you think George Washington, it would be great to talk to George Washington about how he beat the British and became the first president of the United States, and you think you'd be getting some insight. You wouldn't, because the moment George Washington stepped into a restaurant that was air conditioned, he'd freak out. The moment you handed him a glass of water with like ice in it, he'd probably lose his mind. right? That kind of thing. Air conditioning, maybe not so much the ice because they had, you know, they found a way to have cold drinks, but he might freak out over air conditioning. He might not stop talking about air conditioning. He might be like, what is this voodoo? What is this witchcraft? How in the world is it cool in here? It's 100 degrees outside. How am I comfortable? This is not really comfortable. I need a jacket. How is this possible? And you'd be like, hey, so the Battle of Yorktown. You read your books. What is this magic? Like, I'm feeling a cool breeze. This should be impossible. I'm telling you, air conditioning is great. It might be one of the greatest inventions we've ever put together. I mean, outside of like the polio vaccine and the car, what's better than having 70 degree air in the comfort on a boiling hot day? Aren't we laughing at Mother Nature with air conditioning? Are we not? Like when Mother Nature goes, I'll give you heat and humidity. We go, ha, give us your worst. We're fine until it conks out. And just like mine conked out last night, and now I'm miserable and grouchy. That's air conditioning. The 98 Yankees won 114 games, finished with 125 at the World Series. The 2001 Mariners won 116 games. Yes, and lost to the Yankees in the playoffs. I know, it's weird, isn't it? But the Orioles, futility, absolute futility. I don't know, I'm looking forward to this stretch run. We always talk about fall being such a great month for sports, and it's true, because I love the start of football season, and I like the start of meaningful college football games, because it takes a few weeks to sort of get into that. Like, you get, like, the first few weeks of college football, like the opening weekend, you get a lot of cool opening matchups, right? It's like, oh, look at this, the kickoff classic at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or we're going to Arlington for this matchup. But then it slows down a little bit, right? Like in September after that, it's like, all right, we're going to play a couple of games against these Division I AA schools, and we're going to chill out for a little bit and play Eastern Michigan and Chattanooga and all that stuff. And then the conference schedule starts, and it starts to really kick in October, but you're getting the Major League Baseball playoffs. Now, I said that one of my problems with the playoffs a number of years ago is this one game wild card. I really didn't like it at the very beginning of this. I thought it was kind of gimmicky and kind of silly, but I find it working. The additional wild card team is going to make the pennant race great, but be careful. Like, just be careful. Don't make it so that, because if playoffs in the end bring you the most revenue, you would think more teams in the playoffs, more playoff games is what our business model should be like. And it really shouldn't be that, right? You should make a regular season have some value. You should have a pennant race that has some value, right? One of the greatest things I ever covered in my time as a sportscaster was the run of the Colorado Rockies in 2007. I know I've told this story. I was in a promotions meeting at a station I was working at. And me and my program director, I was hosting a show at the time. Me and my program director were in this meeting, and it was all of our stations were in this cluster. And one of the sales managers had brought up that the Rockies were winning a few games. It was like mid-September, and they were winning a few games. And my sales manager was like, look, should we be preparing guys for any sort of Rockies playoffs? Should we be working out any sort of promotional things that we should be? I mean, my PD sort of laughed and said, oh, I know, they're playing good, but no. Because it was, we did the math. We knew the math was really hard. They won 14 of 15 games to get a one-game playoff against the Padres and beat the Padres to go to the playoffs. And then when they got to the playoffs, they swept Philadelphia and swept Arizona to get to the World Series, only to be swept by the Red Sox. But it was one of the wildest, wildest few weeks I have ever been a part of. It was insane. You remember when you would hear stories of people talking baseball at the bus stop, like when Joe DiMaggio was getting his 56-game hit streak going, and people were like, did he get a hit? Like, you'd hear stories about how the whole nation was doing this. Like, guys were going into the office carrying their briefcase, and they would look around, did Joe get a hit last night? And they would be doing this in, like, you know, middle of nowhere, Nebraska, and middle of, you know, on the West Coast, and all sorts of places around the country, because it captivated the country. Imagine that, but local. Like, imagine that, and every single person in the city and in the area and in the region and the state were talking Rockies baseball all the time, with the Broncos playing football. Right? I used to joke, in Colorado, it is like Broncos, 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 then maybe the Nuggets than maybe the Avs and Rockies. Right? Like, once you've exhausted every possible Denver Broncos story, you then get to the other three teams. Right? But the Rockies were, it was just fun. But here's the thing. It was fun because there was a little danger, right? The numbers weren't working. The Rockies at the time had to win. You do this in pennant races all the time, these magic numbers. If you allow more baseball teams in the playoffs, you kind of lose that. There is a magic in a team making a run late. There is magic in everybody scoreboard watching. Where are we? Where are they? What's going on there? Right? I remember after games, the Rockies would run into the dugout to watch the final few innings of whatever San Diego was doing. It was wild and it was fun. I'm a little nervous we might lose a little bit of that. Like, you'll just have teams battling for position, and that's not fun. NFL is going to go through the same thing, right, with an additional playoff team. Now, it does open up for more conversation. It opens up for more potential. But, you know, I'm just saying, the more teams you add, you might lose a little bit of what makes the postseason magical and special in the first place. All right, Miami Dolphins are on the clock. Coming up, we'll touch on some of the things the Dolphins did right last year and some of the things that they were missing on. Why this is, for Brian Flores, a transitional year. We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. The Dolphins are on the clock next hour in our NFL previews. We're staying in the AFC East. We did the Jets yesterday, Bills on Monday. So it's the Dolphins' turn, which means it's the Patriots tomorrow. The Dolphins went 10-6 last season, but if you remember, they started the year with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who they don't have anymore, and then went to Tua Tagovailoa, who they drafted. And while Tagovailoa was all right, this could be one of those years where they really determine what kind of quarterback they have. Here's where the Dolphins are. This is what makes this kind of tough. If you're Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, you got a number of years to become the franchise quarterback, right? Because they stink. And so Urban Meyer and the staff are building a team around their starting quarterback. If you're a rookie quarterback and you enter a team that's got a lot of other things right, and you are a quarterback that has to develop quickly to maximize the things that are right, that's where things get a little precarious, right? If you aren't the guy. I mean, you kind of saw it a little bit with Josh Rosen. I think the Cardinals felt like Kyler Murray was the better quarterback to take where that organization was going than Josh Rosen, and now he's bouncing around, recently signed with the Atlanta Falcons to vie for a backup job. Now, I'm not saying that's happening to Tua, but Tua's not in a position where he's the starter and they're going to build a team around. They've already got a team that is potentially going to win double digits and make a run in the playoffs. And he has to be a better part of it. He threw 11 touchdowns, had 5 interceptions, completed 64% of his passes last season. But if he plays well, the Dolphins could have a roster that is going to go to the playoffs and maybe make a little noise, right? And in the future, might be one of those teams, as they get better and acquire better players, they might actually make a AFC championship run, right? If that's what they're building. But what if he's not good, right? What do you do? Like, what if he's not the guy? What if you're Brian Flores and you start realizing, I don't know about this guy. I don't know. Like, we drafted him. We thought some things about him, but he's not producing. This becomes a really interesting scenario for Miami, because you don't want to give up the good talent that you have. Like, because we know that with NFL teams, right? They're here for a minute and then they all disperse because you can't keep them. And they get, you know, when they're free agents, you can't pay them and they just go somewhere else to get paid. So it starts to, whatever you have starts to get broken up within a couple of years. And I think if you're Chris Greer, the general manager, and Brian Flores, the head coach, I think that's a problem if he does not show that he can grow in his second year. And that's a lot to ask, because as I told you earlier, rookie quarterbacks aren't good. They're not supposed to be good. For the most part, again, if you're a betting guy, bet against them being good. Right? That's what they're supposed to do. But if you force them to sort of grow quickly, you could derail them. But at the same time, you have no other choice, right? You have no other choice. You can't spend 3-4 years if you've built a strong roster to wait on your quarterback to develop. Because if he doesn't develop, you're setting yourself way back. I mean, they got Will Fuller now to throw to, right? I mean, they've got Miles Gaskin running the ball, Malcolm Brown. They've got some players. Devontae Parker catching the football, Jaylen Waddle, a former teammate. All right, if Tua Tagovailoa doesn't develop, the Dolphins will be, I don't know where they're going to go. So that's a kind of a weird season for them. We know what the Jets are going to do. Like, we did the Jets yesterday, and we basically put it in perspective. We can break down the Jets' offense and some of the things that are good on defense, right? But in the end, what are the Jets doing? The Jets are building, right? They're not going to be good. They're going to win a handful of games. That's it. And they're not going to be very good, but they're going to grow. They got a new head coach, a rookie quarterback. They're supposed to grow. If you're the Bills, what we would talk about with the Bills earlier this week, 13-3, now they got to figure out how to close the gap between them and Kansas City, right? How do they close the gap so that they're in the Super Bowl and not the Chiefs, all right? Okay, two different goals. What's the Dolphins' goal? The Dolphins' goal is, can the quarterback take us where we want him to go right now, right now, right now? And that's different than other teams that going into this league. All right, coming up next hour, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll also talk a little bit about more about the Dolphins. And we'll also talk about Charlie Watts, who passed away at the age of 80. One of the biggest rock icons of all time, as we continue with Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.